Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:27 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is July 3rd, and the US markets closed a little early today ahead of the July 4th holiday. So anyone celebrating July 4th, happy Independence Day. And today we had a number of PMI index figures coming out of a range of different countries, and they were pretty much universally positive. So starting off in China, they had a contraction, I think, back in March, and it is back above 50, so the manufacturing sector is expanding once more. Japan came in positive territory, the European expansion continues to gather pace, and the US PMI was also in positive territory. So that helps to bolster the view that we are in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. And that has some profound effects, and it has had some rather large impacts on different markets in here today. So the big question that it asks is, I guess there are two big questions, but the first one is going to be, what will be the response of central banks? Well, if they continue to see economies doing better, well, then their natural response would be to raise interest rates. And that is part of the reason that we're getting such a cacophony of hawkishness coming through from various central banks over the last couple of weeks, that they're increasingly of the opinion that we're in a synchronized period of expansion, so therefore they need to start reining in some of the extraordinary monetary accommodation that they've made available to the markets and to various economies over much of the last decade. So that's certainly one response. Then there is the secondary question. I guess it's a second order response would be, what will be the impact of this synchronized expansion on the psychology of various boards among the very large companies? Because they have been engaged in a great deal of financial engineering where they've been borrowing at very, very low rates, and then they've been refinancing their debt. They have been buying back their shares, and they haven't been investing nearly as much money in their capital investments or in expanding their own businesses. Perhaps if we do get interest rates rising, then that will shift the barometer in terms of boardroom thinking back into investment rather than financial engineering. It's all about the weighted average cost of capital. Right now, because interest rates are so very low, it makes eminent sense to buy back your shares. That reduces the weighted average cost of capital available to the to the corporation. That's sort of MBA finance 101. So that's exactly what they've been doing. But as the cost of that funding goes up, well, then that will start to move the barometer, and then they will have to start looking for other ways to boost their both their income and to deploy capital, and one of those would be investment. So that then would also help to explain some of the other events that we've had in here today. So it's probably time to start looking at some of those charts. Among the weakest was the NASDAQ. It was down 63 points on the future, and I think it was more like 45 on the index, but it is back testing its lows. It's just below that 5600 level. Now, we have now a lower high, we have a lower low. The most important thing that this index has done is had a clear downward dynamic, the largest downward dynamic that we've seen in a year, back on the 9th of June. And that's almost a month ago at this stage. When we look at it on the weekly basis, then it remains the most likely scenario that we're going to have a mean reversion. What we can also say is that the volatility on the NASDAQ is picking up, and that there is a clear trend of higher levels. It was up an additional point in here today, but if it starts to clear that 20-point level, then that will break what has been an almost two-year progression of lower rally highs, and it would suggest that we are back in a more volatile environment, that this particularly quiescent period is ending. But it is also worth highlighting that it was the NASDAQ that was in negative territory today. It wasn't really anything else. The S&P 500 was in mildly positive territory, but you can see on the chart that it actually closed down on the day. It had started out the day in pretty robust form. And the Russell, which has been boosted by a number of shipping companies in here today, was also in positive territory. It was up 11, and I think it is pretty close now to a new all-time high. Now, if the Nasdaq, which is the home to such incredibly large companies like Amazon and Apple and Google, continue to pull back, well, then it's unlikely that the S&P and the Russell are going to be immune to that pullback. But neither are they as overextended relative to the trend mean. But when we then look at the other side of the ledger, and what are the types of companies that should benefit from higher interest rates and a return to global growth, then the banks really do stand out. So, for example, the S&P 500 banks index, because they've announced so many buybacks and dividend increases, it was in positive territory in here today. It wasn't quite able to hold all of its advance, but this continues to represent a different environment, that it is now trading back up towards the upper side of its range. It's been pretty quiet since the beginning of December, and this was a really positive development for the banking sector over the last week, so there is ample potential for additional upside. And the mining sector, which has really been out in the cold, but something that I think is really worth pointing out is that the London Metals Index, which is just the industrial metals, nothing to do with oil or agriculturals, looks almost exactly like the FTSE 350 mining index. It has firmed now from the region of the trend mean, and as long as it is doing that, as long as it is continuing to find support in this area, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the recovery scenario. And I think, then if we also look at, for example, copper, it has almost exactly the same pattern, that it has bounced from the region of the trend mean, and in fact is outperforming in here. And zinc has also done rather well in here, and it is bouncing in a rather dynamic manner from the region of the trend mean and the upper side of what was previously an almost 7-year range. So this is, I think, increasingly looking like a more bullish environment for the mining sector. And after what has been an over 6-month hiatus, and it was one of the best performing sectors last year as well. And we can see that, major miners like Glencore or Rio Tinto, they have also been firming in here from the region of their respective trend means. Then also, the oil price was up in here today. And this is consecutive days on the upside now. There's none of them has been particularly a very big upward dynamic, but certainly today we saw some additional evidence of short covering. And when we look at that on the weekly basis, we can see that this is a very volatile environment where there have been some swinging pullbacks and indeed some very robust advances. There is a clear progression of lower valley highs, and that progression of lower valley highs, the most recent one, was in the region of $55. So this is a continued short covering rally, and it is, and in the absence of a clear downward dynamic, we'd have to give the benefit of the doubt that it is probably going to go back up and test that peak around June, before potentially then coming all the way back down, because we are still in this very, I think, volatile environment. The higher prices go, the greater the incentive is for anyone who can drill at economic levels around the $55 level to do so. And there is a lot of additional supply becomes economic around $55. So that would suggest that 60 is a significant hurdle, and that it would require a clear geopolitical event to see prices above that level. And in the absence of a sustained move above 60, then the most likely scenario is very volatile ranging. And it's been my view for a very long time that the closest analog that we have is natural gas. and natural gas prices have been incredibly volatile for really what feels like a long time at this stage, following the crash that we had in 2008. Prices have pretty much gone nowhere, and I think that is likely to remain the case. There is a lot of gas is economic at $4. But what we are also seeing is that I think, just to round that off, if we do look at the London Metals Index, then it is bouncing, and it's bouncing rather impressively here. So now, if we then think about where are we in the cycle, we're beginning to see evidence that some of the shares that did spectacularly well in the very cheap liquidity environment, what they are now doing is pulling back. There's a reversion to the mean going on. There was a clear downward dynamic last week, and then there is an additional some additional follow through going on in here this week. For example, that was Tesla. Netflix has almost already completed its reversion back towards the mean, but there is a substantial number of shares are really overextended relative to their respective trend means. And despite the fact that, for example, Activision is the clear leader in gaming and has done spectacularly well since the beginning of this year, there is no denying that it is overextended relative to the trend mean. And in previous occasions, when it has become this overextended, it has pulled back and pulled back in a violent manner. And that those pullbacks have represented buying opportunities. And that is quite clear that they are best bought following reversions to the mean. And by the same token, we could also say that the best time to take profits is when they have become way overextended relative to the trend mean. That's quite clear. This is also an important sector to watch because it has been such a clear outperformer. It is the clear leader in terms of this move. They have been the shares that have benefited most from very cheap liquidity, the technology sector, and indeed the private equity sector has done spectacularly well. And from basically free money and lots of it. But we saw just this week that Blue Apron IPO'd, and it wasn't up on the first day or even the second day of trading. It was a little bit steadier in here today. Then you've got all the shenanigans that have been going on at Uber and all the negative connotations of the culture of that business that have been making headlines. The reality, though, is that if interest rates start to rise, then all of these private equity investors are going to have to be more judicious in what they invest in. And that also is going to change the dynamics of the market. Then, because this has been the leading sector, it really is worth keeping an eye on, because it was the banks were the leading sector in 2007. They did spectacularly well as the technology sector rolled over in 1999. They did because they were benefiting from the largesse that the Fed had provided in the aftermath of the tech boom, and then also the very low regulation environment that they were functioning in. They did very well all the way through until about the end of 2006. They were already underperforming in 2007, and then they crashed in 2008. But then they were pulling back way ahead of the wider market. At the other end of the other side of the equation was the commodity sector, which is generally a late in the cycle performer, that they tend to benefit when people start to really invest in additional supply. That economic activity has been going well for a while. Demand starts to increase. It overwhelms the available supply, and then you get lots of investment in new supply. Well, we're just at the beginning of that. So there is certainly the potential that the resources sector can outperform the technology sector for the time being, at least, because one is just coming off of a lengthy, at least a 7 or 8 month reversion back to the mean, whereas the technology sector is just about beginning to pull back. And within the technology sector, the biotech index, it remains something that of interest. It has not been pulling back by nearly the same margin as some of those other technology shares, despite the fact that it broke out very emphatically. It has not come straight back down. It is simply unwinding some of that very short-term overbought condition, and a sustained move below 3,000 would be required to question that this isn't going to be a confirmed breakout, and that we're not going to see the biotechnology sector really lead at the, I think, over the next 6 or 7 months, that it is probably going to be the clear outperformer relative to the wider technology sector, not least because it went down for 7 or 8 months and then it went sideways for a year and a half. So that this is further evidence that we are in a rotational environment. And because economic growth is picking up in Europe, that's quite positive. The European indices were have been pulling back for the last few weeks, but they were in positive territory in here today. I think we're still in a reversionary environment. I think, you know, that it is going to take a little bit of time for these indices to just unwind some of what has been a very positive environment overall for much of the year to date. And they are due a pause in consolidation, and I think that they are going to get it. The Japanese market was pretty quiet in here today, but it is being boosted by the weakness of the yen. I think Shinzo Abe's party have lost control of Tokyo. It means that they may have to roll back their imposition of a higher sales tax, and that is not particularly bullish for the yen. So what we see here is that the dollar has bounced from the region of the trend mean, and it is now testing the progression of lower rally highs. If it can sustain a move above 115, well, then I think we can conclude that we're back in a dollar-dominated environment. The dollar index is really quite oversold in the short term, and it was in positive territory in here today. But again, that also needs to break its progression of lower rally highs, and the most recent one of those is at 98. There's potential for some consolidation around this level, but it really does need to break the progression of lower rally highs to confirm we're back in a dollar-dominated environment. Because we're getting higher economic growth, and that is being suggested that we might have higher interest rates, well then bond yields are pushing up, and they have bounced last week and they're following through this week on the upside and pressuring their own progression of lower rally highs. So what happens next and the extent to which they can sustain a move above 2.4%, that would signal that we are back in a supply-dominated environment for bonds. But it also hasn't been great news for gold. Gold prices were down 20 in here today, and now this is testing the progression of higher reaction lows. If it doesn't bounce soon and this week, then the upward bias that we've seen for most of this year will most certainly be questioned. I think further questioned might be a better characterization. This is the do or die moment. Gold is either going to find support at this level, or it is going to look really like a rolling over pattern that could potentially go right back down and test the lows. Platinum prices were also weaker in here today and back testing the $900 level. That was really quite a dynamic move where it failed to hold on to early strength, and that $900 level absolutely does need to hold. And the silver price back down to test that $16 level. So this is not particularly good news for the precious metals index. And there is the additional point that the US markets are closed tomorrow. So if somebody wanted to influence markets, then the biggest market in the world is going to be out of trading tomorrow. And that means that global markets will be a little bit thinner. So there is the potential that we could have some additional volatility. But I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.